Thank you. So, if this sounds disjointed when I speak on today, I'm going to blame Brother Koontz here because he called me it. Little afternoon yesterday, and me being as diligent as I was, I wrote down these verses at 12:30 last night. So, but God had given me a thought, and I'm like, well, I don't know what that's for, but okay. Then Brother Koontz called me, and I'm like, okay, that's what I'll speak on. So we're going to be in Matthew 9. If you don't know where Matthew is, it's right after Malachi. I hope that helps y'all. Because I know people find Malachi so much easier than they do Matthew. So Matthew 9, 3 through 8 is what I'm going to preach on. This is what gave me the thought. Matthew 9, 3 through 8. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Dan, could I ask you to pray real quick?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for that. I hope that we'll make it here. Thank you for the message that we already heard. You be with Peter as he tries to deliver your word. Give him the words to speak and give us the ears to hear what he has to hear. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. So what I'm going to talk about here is in verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Jesus Christ just worked a work, and what they saw was the power in man. They didn't see him as Lord at that moment. And I believe there's me as a lost person. I remember it clearly. I would see things happen in people's life, but I would only see the people. I wouldn't see Jesus Christ. Even nowadays, after salvation, God had to work that in me where I would go to meetings and everything because I knew a man, usually when he'd preach, Jesus Christ would show up. The Holy Ghost would show up, move in a service. But God just had to show to me that God spoke to Balaam through the mouth of an ass.
Right.
So it doesn't matter who's speaking. If they're speaking from the Word of God, God can show you things. And I'm just going to go through today and just look at a few different examples, all in Matthew, because this is where I've been reading, this is where my schedule has been at, of times that people didn't see Jesus Christ, they just saw the man, the damnation that comes with that. So let's go to, the first one is obvious, Jesus Christ gives us an example of that. We're going to go to the parable of the sower, Matthew 13. I like this one because I can read it, and then Jesus Christ can explain it to you, I don't have to. So amen to that. So we're going to go Matthew 13, 4 through 8 is going to be the first one. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, if we just look over, starting at verse 19, Jesus explains this for us. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So the first one, that seed sown into us, the word of God gets preached to us, and the devil comes by and takes it out. Says that. The wicked one. Who's the wicked one in the Bible? Talking about the devil. So we let the devil come and steal the word from us because we don't care. We don't see Jesus Christ in things. We see goodness in that word. But we let the devil take it from us. Next verse, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, Then cometh the wicked one. Oh, I just read that one, didn't I? Well, verse so nice, we can read it twice. One and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dareth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I don't know. I've seen a lot. I've been in this place. We'll hear the word of God. It'll work in our life. We can joy over that. We can get some peace over that. But tribulations fall into our life, and the first thing we do is blame God. Why'd God do this? So we take that seed and throw it. That's not the devil taking that from you. That's you throwing it out yourself. Because tribulations came into your life, and you don't have the strength of Jesus Christ in you. You don't have that root. It talks about that root. Who's the root? Jesus Christ. You don't have that in your life. So there's tribulations in your life. Take that away. It withers away the word of God. And we'll go further. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. That was pretty obvious. Many of us, myself included, especially as a lost person, I had many things like, I can't go to church today. I have work.
Right.
That's a care of this world. I can't go to church today. I'm not feeling too well. It's the world. It's a care of the world. I just talked to a young man the other day. I'd ask him why he wasn't in two of the later services. This is a lost young man. I asked him, why aren't you in a later service? And he just told me someone in his family had a headache, a migraine, and he had to drive them home. I just asked him, I'm like, is that migraine worth hell? I told him a little bit later, I'm like, look, you will think about that migraine when you're in hell, and you will curse that person out for having a migraine because you missed services. That could have been the service you got saved, and that could have been the service that Jesus Christ actually broke through to you. But because of a migraine, you weren't in church. And people use many different, I've heard many different excuses. But you come to this realization in your life that when those excuses arise for other things, you'll do whatever you can to fix that. If you had to go to work, well, let's say your car was broke down, you would call everybody and everybody trying to find a way to get to work. But if your car breaks down for church, it's not that big. But, you know, I guess I can't go to church today. It's a miserable thing, but it's true. It's of the devil. It's of hell. We care for our flesh more than we care for Jesus Christ. Let's see. I think I have one more verse to read here, and I'll move on. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30. Is your ground prepared? Mr. Morey would ask this many different times. Did you prepare your heart before you showed up today? Or is this just another day in church for you? Do you actually believe you could get saved today? People believe that they could get saved today in this service. They believe they could get saved in the way home. Most people believe there has to be extenuating circumstances for them to get saved. That's not the case. That's not true at all. God can work the power he works in special meetings. He can work that same power in your room when you're alone reading his word. People don't believe that. They don't prepare themselves for it. God, later on, when God started to deal with me, when I actually started to listen in church, Mr. Morey had said that to us, do you actually believe you could get saved? And I had to think about that before I'd go to church. Every single time I'd go to church, before I'd walk through the front door, I'd had to think to myself, can I get saved today? Like, yeah, the Bible says I could. Then God actually started working in my life when I started to think those things because I believed those. I believed most of the Bible at that point. I didn't believe it all, though, because if you believe it all, you'd be saved. That's what the Bible says. If you believe it, I had other sticking points. Like, I didn't believe God would save me. I believed God could save me in those moments. I didn't believe he would save me because, you know, I never really listened. Now, let's go to Matthew 8. Like I say, this may sound disjointed, but if you look at my notes here, I'm reading them all out of order anyway, so I'm just as confused as you. So Matthew 8, 31 through 34. This is the parable of the swine there, or not parable, but Jesus casting the devils into the swine. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Jesus Christ just worked a miracle. But, says first here, those ones who are herding the swine, they fled. They saw that and they fled. This man who'd been in his agony his whole life, filled with devils, Jesus cast them out. These men saw that and fled because the swine fled too. Kind of funny. Swine fled, so did these people. They fled to the city and the people came out of the city. They saw Jesus Christ and they asked him to depart from them. I have many sins in my life before salvation that I thought, I want to keep these. I don't want to get saved because I'd have to give these up. That's an awful thought, but that's true. I'm ashamed to admit that now, but those were the thoughts that went through my head. I would think of certain sins like, I'd have to give that up. That's wicked. I knew it was wicked as a lost person, but I'd have to give that up. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to get saved because I don't want to give that up. It's just like these people with their swine. They wanted Jesus Christ to leave because they lost a herd of swine. They were afraid of that, afraid of losing those things because he was in their coast. Let's go to another example of people not seeing Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew 12. About till what time do I got to? 10 before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Sometime on that clock. Okay. Thank you. So I said Matthew 12, verse 20. Well, I passed it, so. Matthew 12, verse 20. It's going to be 22. Matthew 12, 22 through 37. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind, dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except that he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So we're going to go back to the beginning here first. Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Many people see Jesus Christ working, the first thing they do is say, that's a devil. Something happens in our life. I'll go back to the example I've already used. Your car breaks down. All of a sudden, the devil's attacking you. What if that's God working in your life? Have you thought about that? A few weeks ago, I was pretty bitter about things because I wanted to go two separate meetings. I know now God kept me from going to those meetings. But at first, I blamed it on the devil. I thought, well, I said he was more powerful than God. But you have to come to that realization. You go through those verses, it talks about it. If God wants it to happen, it will happen. So it's just the first thing, something goes wrong in your life, don't just immediately blame the devil for that. One, might just be not you. You might not be living right. You might not be doing the things you're supposed to do, obeying God, because God will punish you for not obeying him. It says that many different times. I've actually preached it here. Obeying God. All of a sudden, the joy's gone out of your life. Why would God give a disobedient child joy? But that joy's gone out of my life. The first thing we say is, I'm just getting attacked by the devil recently. We immediately call God the devil. We never look into it. Then, just look at how you speak. One of my biggest tells, and I think you all know Timothy Asquith. He's one of the people that calls me out on this a lot, but one of my biggest tells when I'm not living the way I'm supposed to is the way I speak. Timmy can usually instantly tell that, Peter ain't right with God right now because how he's speaking. And it says it right here later on. Let me find the verse. Right here. 34. O generation of vipers, how can you speak evil speaking? Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Right. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Bible also says your mouth, your tongue, some small member, but is set on fire of hell. So when I'm saying those things that just hurting people, there's no kindness, no mercy, nothing in them. Maybe I should examine my life. Am I speaking as God would have me speak? I said this to Nick on the way over here. Sometimes I do have to say mean things that people consider mean. People consider mean. I don't. And God doesn't. I had to come to the realization this someone was preaching about a week ago. They had preached, and God just showed me, you didn't care about offending people when you were lost. I actually used to go out of my way to do it because that was just a little defense mechanism I would do. Why should I care about offending people when I'm saved, if I'm speaking on those things of God? If you're speaking truth, you're speaking right. And when I don't, God will beat me up over it. He does regularly beat me up on my mouth. I don't know if any of you have to deal with that, but I deal with that a lot. Then, just to back this up, and this will probably be the last part I read because I'm a little bit past time, but we're going to go to Matthew 14:22. Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him, and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Jesus Christ said, "It is I," or he said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." What's the first thing Peter does? "Lord, if it is you, prove it." He doesn't trust Jesus Christ for his word. He demands God prove it. And what happened? We all know the story after that. What happens to Peter? Walks out on there. He's walking on the water, so it's proved. God did prove it for him, but then he looks around and gets afraid. All of a sudden, he sinks, and God calls him faithless after that. and thank you.